If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Have these people always been here? Happy Monday, everybody. Look at what's happening. What a party. Bob Seska live in the studio. Jackie Schechner live in the studio. All 3 hours. Oh, my God. Kristen Wiig. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. This is fantastic.
How fast can it go horribly awry?
I don't. Pretty quick. This is too. It's almost too much sexy liberalness, isn't it, Sean?
Uh-huh, look at this. All in,
and Jim is right on time as usual.
Uh-huh.
Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Jim
okay,
is here.
He'll be here in a second. Hi, kids.
Good
do
morning.
Would you like to be jingled, or do you feel like we're?
I don't know. Did you bring protection?
Sure.
There's a lot.
Tiny hunky men. Why? Bob Seska joins us now.
I'll interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
You're cute. I love you, Bob Seska.
Where are you coming from?
Bob's calling us from
the streets of San Francisco.
That's already wrong. He's not calling us from San Francisco.
I'm right here. What the hell?
Chris LaBoy is wrong as usual.
Stupid jingle.
Chris LaBoy will be in live in studio Wednesday. It's homecoming week, like Sean said.
Good.
Right?
Parade and
yes.
Floats and
only for the people that graduated with honors, like Jackie Schechner and Bob Seska.
That's right. I don't have 12 jingles. LaBoy. Jackie evidently has 12 jingles.
That's why I needed to buy time to pick one.
Okay. Rocky Mountain Mike's got to get to work on that.
Hello world, is it news that's bringing?
I think this was her first one.
Yeah, this was the first one.
All our stories is what she's right. Singing. Bring you Jackie.
All right. Anywho, all right. We have a million, of course, Trump, show news to get to.
Yeah.
Sadly, we're not together for the happiest of reasons, but it's still so exciting that you guys are all here. We were in town for Chez Pazienza's memorial service yesterday. Jackie, also a very dear friend of Chez's, and so it was obviously very sad, and it was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was really well done. I was really impressed, and I wasn't surprised at all. Of course, it was going to be good. Taryn has amazing taste, and it was just perfect. It was exactly, I think, the way Chez would have wanted to be remembered. I think it was really good. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the word closure, because I don't think you ever put closure on a friendship, but I did feel like the day was therapeutic.
Absolutely.
Both of your speeches made me cry, of course.
Oh, you're very sweet. It made me cry.
And your speech made me cry.
Oh, and then you said you wanted to Kristen Wiig me from Bridesmaids. Like, no, wait, now...
I've got one more thing.
Better. Now I have one more thing to say.
What? I've got some more things.
I got more things.
More things.
Yeah. But I mean, just to give people a recap of what we did, just so they understand, is that, you know, we did get together at a drinking establishment that Chez loved because
that beautiful picture.
Yeah. The irony not lost on me that it was at a bar.
And it was a bar that he loved. So
yes,
it was nice that it was.
And everyone was ordering wild turkey, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Bob and his friend Alana gave some beautiful speeches.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of an open mic.
Yeah.
And we all who felt compelled to say something.
Yes, that's how I opened. I said, this is like the worst stand-up show ever.
Yeah, that's right.
And then her Chez's future brother-in-law, I guess, Taryn's
The violinist.
The violin. He's a professional violinist.
It was Glory Hallelujah, wasn't it?
It was beautiful.
It was Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. And then we had a video montage that his friend Jeff put together. And then we released some balloons.
Yeah. And that was a fun fact I did not know about Chez, that he loved balloons more than Bill Clinton. He did not seem like a balloon guy to me.
Really, that didn't strike me as his thing either. Unless it was in a sexual way. But
fun fact about Chez, he loved balloon animals. I mean, you could always entertain Chez if you had a couple of balloons and you could sculpt them into a shape.
I'd known that for our happy hour now. Okay. Well, listen, lots of other things to get to. A mentally disturbed intruder is in the White House, but enough about Trump. Let's... Hey! I just had to get to that joke first.
I have to say the most compelling part of that story for me was that Trump was actually in the White House at the time.
Right, exactly.
It was a Friday night. Why was he there?
Oh, yeah.
Not at Mar-a-Lago, a taxpayer expense? What up? Not playing golf?
No, I think he left early the next morning, but he was actually there when the intruder gave it a shot.
I love he said, Secret Service did a fantastic job. It was a troubled person.
Really?
You would know. Did you see the guy that said he was a friend? I'm a friend.
Not surprised, actually.
Low energy.
Yeah, Donald Trump's low energy. I like people that don't get caught getting over the fence.
That's right. He would have made it into the West Wing if he hadn't been so low energy. Sad.
Yes. He had one of the... Well, he had... Oh. I almost said it. Trump's. I told Jackie it's not allowed. It's not even allowed to be written.
I can't say it.
Right. I can't either. I can't either.
Trump.
Yeah. Or if I accidentally do, yeah. I have to say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
There's just two words that don't go together.
No.
John Oliver's been saying, been listing words that don't go together, right. Like president and Trump.
Right. Thank you for putting a word in between.
I don't even know if I can say any of his two words, so I'm not even going to bother. So I went there, and now I'm going to disappoint everybody. Spoiler alert. No.
All right. So the dude said he was a friend of Trump, and he had one of the president's books with him, some mace, and in a letter that he'd written to Trump mentioning Russian hackers.
Because that's what friends bring for a party.
And his name was Alex Jones.
I was just going to say, I'm guessing an Alex Jones fan.
It's BYOB, bring your own book.
By the way, just for you this morning, we have Alex Jones doing impressions. We'll get to that.
Oh, boy. I can't wait.
That's a thing.
I love Alex Jones. I think it's especially hilarious when he does voices. Does he do puppets, too?
Balloon animal.
No right. Puppet.
In other news, today's the deadline for Trump to provide proof of accusations that Obama tapped his phone with two P's at least. So what time is it due? What time? End of business? What time's?
Well, you have to start business to have end of business.
Oh, did you hear the other conspiracy theory, Jackie? I'm so happy you're here today with this whole healthcare craptastic thing. Did you see that was the other conspiracy theory he floated? He said, Obamacare was supposed to implode in 2017. That's the way it was planned because he would be gone. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, I don't know where
the president planned it to implode after he left, the thing that he worked his signature. Okay.
Yeah, he keeps saying that, and I don't know where that originated, that it was going to implode in 2017, but he's been repeating that all along. There was never any evidence.
That's when it was scheduled to implode.
Yeah, it's basically like Trump saying, Trump steaks are the best. I mean, it's basically the same thing. He's basically making up things that are superlative and amazing, and in this case, terrible, but then he's going to bring something amazing as a result of the terrible thing.
Or terrific.
Beautiful. Terrific.
And or terrific.
Right.
Beautiful.
Jackie, I'm not an expert like you are. Nothing in this seems terrific to me.
No.
I don't.
It's decidedly unbeautiful.
It is. But isn't it, even for you, this was hard to imagine how awful, right?
Well,
because you're going, it doesn't do any of, it does the opposite of everything he said.
It also does kind of nothing. It's first of all, it's very difficult to read. I don't know why anybody's, nobody's talking about that. And I get it. It's taking apart the Affordable Care Act, the IRS code, the Social Security Act. And if you read through it, you've got to actually have your three bills in front of you to compare and contrast the wording.
Right.
It's not easy. And so when Paul Ryan's like, read the bill, hashtag read the bill, and you go and go download it. Look for yourself. It's a mishmash.
Yeah, it's
so terrible. I give credit to those who've been able to pick through it and find the nuance.
Right.
Because that's not easy. And some did it very quickly.
Right.
So 15 million probably will lose insurance.
Right. So what they're doing,
the way I look at it, everybody's insurance is going up, particularly Trump voters. They did the, in one particular Trump county, it was thousands of dollars more for the average, older person, XYZ, right?
Health insurance is a profit-making entity,
right?
So it's been going up every year since the beginning of time.
Right.
It's going up now actually at a slower rate than it's ever gone up before.
Right.
But it's continuing to rise, and there's more attention on it because we've gotten more people into the marketplace. There's more people that can actually get access to health insurance now. So there's more people paying attention to it now. And because it's been in the news, people are starting to understand how the healthcare system works a little bit better. Not well, but a little bit better than they did before.
But
so
freedom.
Now all of,
but freedom,
yeah, right?
Am I right?
You'll have the freedom to go bankrupt again. And you'll have the freedom to pick junk health insurance, which does absolutely nothing for you when the time comes for you to need it most. That's what people don't seem to understand is Paul Ryan and the rest of the GOP gets up there and says, you'll have the freedom to choose, which means the insurance companies will have the freedom to offer you junk health insurance again. And you're going to go, oh, my premium's $50 a month. This is great. What do you think $50 a month is going to get you?
Right.
When you get sick, what do you think the insurance company is going to pay for? Because they're in the business of making money for their shareholders.
Right.
So why would they want to pay for your expensive medical care?
Right.
It's just basic math. Right. They're not going to do it.
Right. And it would make sense that if there's no young, healthy people going in because there's no incentive and there's no whatever, everybody's insurance is going to go up because they're only going to have sick people.
Yeah. And all you have to do is be a young, healthy person with one medical incident or one accident. Or it's not that far-fetched. It's the reason I got into the healthcare fight in the first place. I was young in New York. I couldn't afford health insurance. I had what turned out to be a panic attack, and it was a month after September 11th. I had no idea what it was. It just came out of the blue, and I ended up with a $4,000 emergency room medical bill overnight. Yeah. Now, if you have no money as a freelancer in your 20s in New York City and you've got a $4,000 medical bill, you start to pay close attention to what health insurance means and having coverage.
Bob and I both, I think, have the pre-existing condition of spazziness, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Are you uncoordinated?
We both are.
I'm about to knock over this coffee just deliberately. I'm just fling it across the room right into the board.
Same reason I don't have a gun. Too spazzy. I'm just too spazzy.
You're not against it. You're just against getting killed by your own gun.
Yes, exactly. Bob, you tweeted, consider this. It's likely that Trump fired Bahara and dozens of other U.S. attorneys based on televised advice from Sean Hannity. This is real.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how terrifying this country is at this particular point.
He's getting all of his advice. He's getting his policy initiatives from Fox and Friends. He's getting his policy initiatives from Sean Hannity. I mean, literally, like Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade are setting the agenda for the Trump administration. Talk about words that don't belong together. Doocy setting the agenda for blank administration. Any name in there?
Jackie has pointed out is the Doocier of the two Doocies. You are keeping track.
He's a total douchebag
of the general Doociness.
I mean, how does he have enough time to watch this much television?
I know. I mean, plus, like, could he? They look guiltier and panickier on every move. So this guy is in charge of, you know, obviously he was just asked to investigate the corruption, the ties with Trump and blah, blah, blah. And then Trump calls him, which is totally unethical. Mm-hmm. And then he fires him the next day. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, yeah.
And the Fox News suit. He's also, right? Like, Rupert Murdoch wins.
Yeah. And then he was promised during the transition that he would stay on. Trump actually summoned him to Trump Tower and they stay. And he was told, you can stay on as U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York.
Yeah.
And he's like, great. And he walked out and he did the interview like everyone was doing during the transition in the lobby of Trump Tower. And now he's been asked to resign and then fired because he refused to resign.
I think Charlie Pierce wrote that they did this like they've done everything else. That's like a monkey a football. That's how well this was handled.
Does anybody else think that Steve Bannon puts Trump in front of the television at the beginning of the day? And he has him sit in front of TV, and he's like, you just stay here.
Yeah, he's
like, it's like a babysitter. Yeah,
he's like Tom Holtz.
Don't do anything. Don't touch anything. No, not that button.
We'll have a snack in an hour. You sit here and watch TV. We'll be back. There's a juice box waiting.
Yeah, just plop in front of the TV.
Yeah,
just
that's what it
plop
feels
him
like.
In front of the TV. Oh. Babysits him.
Can I just tell you the most terrifying thing that happened to me this weekend, speaking of TV and the Fox News? So I talked to my mom, my 93-year-old Republican Trump-voting mom. And I try to just, you know, you avoid politics like the plague. I just try not to. I love her. She's 93. Just, you know, personal, how you doing? How you feeling? Blah. And so, but she said, so I finally was like, oh, everything's good. She said, how's work? I'm like, actually, it's really good. You know, tour's starting again next month. And she's like, oh, dear. Are you going to make fun of the president? And I was like, well, yeah, mom's pretty good business these days. Just trying to keep it light. And she goes, oh, well, he's just doing beautifully.
It's amazing. Are you going to make fun of the president, Stephanie?
I just paused. I just went, all right, mom, we'll just talk after the impeachment. I couldn't. I was like, he was doing beautifully. Oh, and they're right.
Yeah. Well, the jobs numbers are evidence of how well he's doing.
He's just doing beautifully.
Because they were phony before and they're real now. So he's made them real.
Right. Well, he took it from 42 to 4.7. So that's something.
Which is what Steve Doocy told him. Steve Doocy. I just can't get beyond that. I can't get beyond
Bob,
Steve.
Let's move on. You're living in the past. 20 minutes after the hour.